Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on today's episode, which is being dropped on the fifth day of August, 2021. I'm going to be looking at the strangeness of two of the major awards that they're going to be giving in the offseason and trying to figure out who the front runners are with less than 2 months to go. And I give a suggestion to the manager of the defending World Series champion Dodgers that he does not fall into the trap that some other managers have in the past. Now, this show is available on the free and easy to use Odyssey app. We're also available wherever you get podcasts. And if you happen to have a smart device, be sure to tell it to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So yeah, it's Thursday morning where I'm doing this particular episode, and there's going to be games starting pretty soon. I love when there are getaway games on a Thursday because you get some games starting so early. You have one game starting at, and I'm here in California, at 9:10 in the morning. How great is that? That's the Mets and the Marlins. And that's not an insignificant game. Mets, Marlins, are you kidding me? Now, this weekend, tomorrow's episode, I guess I'm teasing tomorrow's episode. Tomorrow's episode is all about the Phillies and Mets series that's coming up. I mean, unless we find out that Mike Trout's been DFA'd or the Red Sox have announced they're moving to Nashville, something like that will take over. But I'm planning to have tomorrow's episode to be all Mets, Phillies all the time. And by the time I actually get to recording, we'll know what's happening. I mean, last night, both the Mets and the Phillies managed to win their games, and there's still only a game and a half separating the two right now. And you know what? Atlanta is right on their heels. For all the awfulness that's happened with Atlanta this year, they are currently at 500, which is not good on the 5th of August. They have by far the best run differential of any team in the National League East and are only three games back in the loss column of first place. What a weird year this is. What an absolutely surreal, bizarre year this is. But I'm not going to talk about that game right now because I want to talk a little bit about the fact that the Dodgers and Astros once again played yesterday. And I did my whole podcast yesterday where I was chastising Dodger fans for crossing the line, for making it not fun, and was basically saying, do you know what? At this point, you've got to turn the page. You've got your chance to boo. You've got a World Series title out of it. You got it out of your system, and now you've made it unpleasant. You've made the experience unpleasant for others, so maybe it is time for you to move on. And I found out a unifying thing because, believe me, Astro fans and Dodger fans don't see a lot of things eye to eye, but apparently they see one thing eye to eye, is neither one of them like your pal Sully right now. Astros Twitter has hated me for a while because, well, I've, like the other 29 fan bases in baseball, I've pointed out that it's not the Astros or their fans' right to tell other people to move on. If you're the one who cheated, you don't get to tell people when it's time to turn the page. Other people have to say that. That's how things work. Oh, I got one person saying that I was partially to blame for the rowdiness at the stadium because I stoked the flames of this or something stupid. Whenever I hear someone like quote tweeting me or something like that, it's always an Astros fan. It's never someone from another fan base saying I'm wrong, which is it's a sign. But you know what? I tried to do something on the Astro fans' side yesterday and oh, they came out in droves hating me, and the Dodger fans came out hating me as well. So you can look at me as a unifying figure in this fight because not a lot of things unify different groups, but apparently I do. but I stand by everything I said because I think what I said was valid. And we're moving on to just baseball yesterday. Last night was the Dodger debut of Max Scherzer, and he did not disappoint. He was the Scherzer that we expect. Any pitcher who gives you a line of 7 innings, 2 runs, 10 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 1 run he let up was a Brantley home run in the first, and he let up another run in the fourth. Terrific outing. Absolutely solid outing from someone who's essentially going to be their number three starter at this point. The Dodgers made the right move, even if it cost them some prospects. They need to do everything they can to overtake the Giants. And the Giants wound up in a close game yesterday with Arizona, but put on the aft thrusters and rallied big towards the end. So the Dodgers are still a wild card team. We can't act like they bought a World Series title. So they need to play with a sense of urgency. Now, something happened in the game last night that made me perk up and say, all right, I need to talk about this. I need to talk about this with my Locked On MLB friends. I'm not saying this as a Dodger fan, because I'm not a Dodger fan. I happen to live near Dodger Stadium, but I'm not a Dodger fan. I'm saying this as someone who wants to see good baseball. And a team like the Dodgers are filled with players who would make for an exciting October. And they added another postseason hero by bringing in Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels signed a contract with the Dodgers. I was hoping he would reunite with the Phillies, because you know, the last time the Phillies were in the postseason, Cole Hamels was one of their aces. So I was hoping he would go back there. But no, he's going to go to Los Angeles and maybe find himself in the rotation. But let me point something out. Let's say the Dodgers get to the postseason as a wildcard team and they advance. You have Scherzer is going to be joining Walker Buehler, who's having a marvelous season, Cy Young contending season. Julio Urias, who you know my feelings about Julio Urias, and yet he's on the roster. He is allowed to play, and he's having a fantastic season as well. Then you have Scherzer. Then you have Clayton Kershaw. And assuming he comes back, you're basically asking him to be your number four starter? And you have the likes of Garrett Clevenger and Jimmy Nelson have made starts. And even Victor Gonzalez made a start. And of course, you have David Price, yet another postseason hero. Because remember, he was terrific in the World Series against the Dodgers in 2018. And another former Cy Young Award winner. Good Lord. And then you're throwing Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels was what, the number five starter once Clayton Kershaw gets healthy? Let me tell you something. There is an element to the Dodgers that could totally derail the season. And we saw it last night. And this is not to belittle this man's career, because he's had a fine career. There's no getting around the fact that this man has had a fine career. There's also no getting around the fact that he could possibly, with a bad day in a wild card game, derail the season, send everybody home, and make this one of the most, if this Dodger team spent all this money training all these prospects and with the idea of repeating as World Series champs and don't make it far, then yeah, this would be considered a colossal disaster for the Dodgers. And that could all happen if Dave Roberts manages the team with the tyranny of the save. And if he says things like, well, our guy is Kenley Jansen. Our guy is Kenley Jansen. He's the one who got us there. He's our 12-year veteran. He's been our all-star. He's been the guy. We got to hand the ball to him. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. No, you don't. We saw it last night. Jansen comes in and made the game interesting. Yes, he got the final outs, but he made it a lot more interesting than it had to be. Kenley Jansen had a terrific first half of the season. There's no getting around that. I'm not trying to say anything that we don't already know. But for the last, you know, the last month or so, he's had an ERA over 12. In his last 7 appearances, he's allowed 8 earned runs in 5 2/3 innings, which includes a couple of brutal blown saves, a couple of losses, and a couple of games where things get really out of hand. Heck, his last 2 weeks, his ERA has been over 21. And the Dodgers could hand the ball to him in a close game in October, in a wild card game where the entire season can be over. And let's say it's a 4-2 game and you hand the ball to him and he has one of these off nights, then all of a sudden you're packing up your bags and watching the Padres or the Reds go on to play the Giants. You really want to face that. You really want to have that happen. What Dave Roberts has to do, and mind you, he has done this before. He has to forget the save. Last year, the Dodgers won the World Series. I don't know if you remember that or not. The last two games, he got saves from Blake Treinen in game five and Julio Urias in the sixth game clincher. He did not go to Kenley Jansen. He went to Kenley Jansen in game four, and that's when the Rays had the wild two-run rally that ended with that insane rally that ended with the Rosarena basically crawling his way to touch home plate. That's when Brett Phillips got the 1-2 single into right field, and there was a bobble by the outfielder and allowed the Rays to score. But do you know what? There had to be runners on base to have that happen. And Jansen allowed the single to Kiermaier and walked a Rosarena, and that allowed for the Rays to rally. And we're seeing that the reliability, the lockdown ability of Jansen is no longer there. And this may sound cruel, but I've seen teams shown uber loyalty to their closer and have it sink them, have it destroy them. And not just Calvin Schiraldi in the 86 World Series, but the Phillies constantly turned to Brad Lidge in 2009, even though he had totally lost it. And they did that right up until the point where they had to take him out because he put the Phillies in a 3-1 hole. I've seen teams lean on their unreliable closers only to walk out and have Jim Fregosi hang his head and say, well, we had to turn to Mitch Williams. He was our guy who brought us there all year long. No, you don't. No, you don't. Imagine managing as if you don't know what the save stat is. That's what Dave Roberts should be doing. Ozzie Guillen did that with the White Sox in 2005. Yeah, he turned to Jenks a lot, but he also turned to other pitchers or let pitchers complete games. And you see teams pulling out multiple saves from multiple relievers. Kevin Cash did that in last year's World Series run. Francona did that with the Indians in 2016, and it almost damn worked. You can't manage thinking about saves or having any loyalty to Kenley Jansen at this point because he will destroy the Dodgers season. I'm telling you that right now. You have to manage with just the best matchups. You've got enough pitching. Who's the best matchup right now? And if it happens to give a save, great, great. But if it doesn't give a save, fine, fine. Just put the best arm out there. And I'm going to make a suggestion. If they're going to have the mentality that you need a closer, which you don't. You should always be pitching whoever the best matchup is at that particular time. But if you're saying, oh, we need to have that one guy to come out, then let me make a suggestion who it should be. Have it be David Price. Hand the ball to David Price and have him come out and pitch the ninth innings. And do you know what? He has postseason experience as a reliever. He shut down the Red Sox in the 2008 postseason, getting a key save and getting a win out of the relief. But do you know what? He came out of the bullpen in 2017 as well for the Red Sox, pitching 6 2/3 innings against the Houston Astros team. That was, well, 2017. We know what they were doing. I don't need to remind you. And he wound up pitching great out of the bullpen. He pitched a game out of the bullpen in the World Series in 2018, a World Series, which he very well could have been named the MVP of. So when you consider the fact that Price won't get a postseason start, if you need to have a closer, for whatever reason, you think, oh, we got to have someone coming out throwing peas as our closer instead of mixing and matching, then have it be Price. He probably has a temperament to do it too. He doesn't care. I'm telling you, I've seen this before, and they can't do it. Manage only based upon matchups and who the right pitcher is at that particular moment. You have no reason to show loyalty to him in that moment. You know what? There may be a time when Jansen is the best matchup, but you don't want to see this season end with just one game in October. You can't. That would just be a disaster. And if you feel like you need to tinker with the bullpen and tinker with who you use, fine. Pop the hood and make the right call and find the right parts for your bullpen. And if you're looking for the right parts for your car, you should go to rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible for you to go to your local chain or your dealership and find the parts that you need. Why are you going to endure these often pointless or intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on the computer? Do you know what? You can use your computer or your device to get to rockauto.com at home. You know, you could save time, you could save money. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts for a chain store or a dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They're reliably low prices for every customer, and they have everything that you can need. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box so they know that we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. And let's talk a little bit about Freshly. You know what? Dinner time can be chaotic, but with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of your meals a few nights a week and takes the pressure off of you. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door. No cooking required. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially right now. And with Freshly, you don't have to do that. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. And now our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. Stop searching the internet for healthy food near me every night and start living life freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. With new meals added each week, Freshly brings the convenience of chef-made, nutritious design classics right to your kitchen. Right now, Freshly is offering our customers $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/lockedon. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to freshly.com/lockedon. For $40 off your first two orders. That's freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about who the American League and National League MVPs were. I was thinking about who the American League and National League Cy Youngs were. Now, I think the American League MVP is clinched. I really, really do. I think it has to be Shohei Ohtani. I don't think I'm saying anything out of school right now. I don't think I'm saying anything outrageous. The fact that Ohtani is putting up the kind of numbers that you would expect an MVP to do as a hitter. He has his 37 home runs. His OPS is over 1,000. I'm not a big proponent of RBIs, but here he is with 82. He even has 15 stolen bases. He has a chance to, he's certainly going to be a 2020 man. He has a chance to be a 30-30 man with an OPS over 1,000. Right there, that's enough to put him in the conversation. But the fact that he also has thrown 86 innings, he has a winning record as a pitcher, although I don't care about win-loss record. His ERA is under 3. He has 106 strikeouts and 86 innings. He probably is not going to pitch enough to qualify for the ERA title, but he's the Angels' best hitter and their best pitcher. I mean, how could anyone be more valuable than that? But something occurred to me the other day. With Gibson traded away to Philadelphia, is Shohei Ohtani going to win the Cy Young Award as well? Imagine that. Imagine he wins the MVP and the Cy Young Award. I mean, that would be just absolutely insane if that happens. And yet, not completely out of the realm of possibility. I mean, who is the best pitcher in the American League right now? I mean, I'm hard-pressed to think of it. Is it Gerrit Cole? Is it Lance Lynn? Is it Robbie Ray? I mean, who is the best pitcher in the American League? Certainly, you can make the case for Shohei Ohtani at this point. Now, I personally would give it to Lance Lynn. That's my pick to be the Cy Young Award winner. And if he has a dynamic final month of the season, I think that would all but clinch it. But yeah, there's some other pitches you got to give a good long look to. I mean, Cole, you have to give a good long look to. Despite some of his ups and downs, he is having a very fine season. Now, his ERA is a little high in the threes, especially since the whole sticky thing happened, but he throws a ton of innings. Cole has the more innings pitched and the more strikeouts. Lynn has 122 strikeouts and 108 innings, a terrific strikeout-to-walk ratio, a terrific hits-per-innings pitch ratio, the lowest ERA in the league. And so Lynn is probably the front runner at this point. And with Gibson gone, it opens it up a little bit. And that does show that you can't judge things like who won the offseason until the season unfolds, because on December 8th, when the White Sox traded Avery Weems and Dane Dunning to the Rangers for Lance Lynn, we all thought it was a nice trade. We didn't think they were getting a Cy Young Award winner out of it. So there's Lance Lynn is the front runner there. That is easy compared to who is going to be the National League MVP at this point. Because, well, there is one absolute front runner for National League MVP, and that is Fernando Tatis Jr. Fernando Tatis Jr. is leading virtually every one of the major categories. He leads the league. If you're into war, has the highest war of any position player. He has the highest offensive war. He is leading the league in slugging percentage. He's leading the league in OPS. He is leading the league in all sorts of sort of deeper sabermetric stats, like adjusted batting runs, adjusting batting wins. And he's also leading the league in stolen bases at this point. There's nothing the guy can't do except stay healthy, because he's looks like he's out for the year. And so a guy who right now is the home run champion and the stolen base champion and the OPS champion is going to be gone for probably the final 2 months of the season. And so, all right, so if it's not Fernando Tatis Jr., then who is it? Then who do you guys? So, well, then clearly it's Ronald Acuna Jr., right? Oh, wait, he's out for the season. So who's the front runner? It could be Manny Machado. It really could be Manny Machado, who is putting together a fine year, especially has to pick up the slack after the loss of Fernando Tatis Jr. I'm not a big fan of looking at RBIs as a stat. He leads the league in RBIs, but I don't think that's enough to make him a real MVP candidate at this point. One of the candidates who's come up, MLB.com brought this up, that Bryce Harper is suddenly making a run at the MVP. Especially if you take a look since the All-Star break, he's been unbelievable. In the last month, his OPS has been over 1,000. In the last couple of weeks, it's over 960. He's at 967 right now as I'm recording this. And the Phillies seem to be on the verge of overtaking the Mets, or at least making it a very interesting last few weeks. And while you don't like to see the narrative dictate who is the MVP, you don't have that one overwhelming player. So it's probably going to play some sort of a role in it. You look at who's the MVP of the San Francisco Giants in first place. I mean, are you really going to give MVP consideration to Brandon Crawford? I mean, who's having a fine season, as is Buster Posey. But I think another person you got to look at as a potential MVP, and this is one of those weird ones because he doesn't stick out as the MVP of the league, but you got to give Max Muncy a look. I've been saying this for a little bit, but he has the home runs. He has the high OPS, and He is the best all-around offensive player on that LA Dodger team. It's going to be interesting because I don't see who the front runner is if you can't give it to Tatis. You can't give it to someone who's probably going to miss the final 2 months of the season. In the end, he'll have 87 games. You can't give it to someone who didn't even play 90 games. And so you look up and you go, who's it going to be with no front runner? And I guess what I'm saying is the final couple of months of the season is going to be critical to determine the American League Cy Young Award winner and the National League MVP, because how they do these final 2 weeks and probably how it affects the pennant races is going to, in the end, be the thing that makes the difference and makes the players win those individual awards. I know it's not the most important thing right now, but you think about who dominates a season, who is the player that overlooks the entire year, and the fact that two of the major awards are pretty vague right now. There is no sure bet for any of these awards. If you want to make any bets, go to Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is in full swing, and you track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including baseball, basketball, the NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Okay, let's take a look around at what happened in baseball last night. Eduardo Rodriguez had a terrific game against the pesky Detroit Tigers, and the Red Sox ended their losing streak. J.D. Martinez had a big home run in that. The Mets got two critical runs in the eighth inning and managed to win the game against the Miami Marlins, which they needed to win, especially because the Marlins tied the game in the sixth inning. It was starting to look like, oh boy, are the Mets falling apart again? And they needed that with the Phillies outslugging the Nationals 9-5. The A's had a wild game where they came back against the San Diego Padres. Newly acquired Yan Gomes tied the game with a hit with two outs in the ninth inning. And then after the Padres ghost runner scored, it was Matt Olson doubling home Mark Canha and Starling Marte. So the A's were able to hang on and win that game 5-4 in a walk-off. The Brewers dusted themselves off after a frustrating loss to the Pirates the other day, and Suter got the win. Brewers win that one 4-2. The Rays finally beat the Mariners, and it was a game where the Mariners kept knocking on the door and kept looking like they're on the verge of tying it. Sheriff got the save, and a big triple by Randy Arozarena turned out to be the difference in the Rays 4-3 victory. The Reds did everything in their power to hand the game over to the Minnesota Twins, especially who came within one run in a wild eighth inning. But the Reds held on and continued to be knocking on the door of the National League wild card as they trimmed another game off the lead that the Padres have for that second wild card spot. I went over the Dodgers and the Giants yesterday. The Braves had a three-run rally in the eighth. The Cardinals are sinking like a rock, and they're going to be out of it. The Royals pounded the White Sox 9-1. Bad start by Lucas Giolito. The White Sox are going to bound to lose a game here or there. Shohei Ohtani got the victory 2-1 as the Angels top the Rangers. We have some early games today. The Mets and Marlins, like I mentioned, the Mets are trying to keep the Phillies at more than a game away. A Mets loss and a Phillies win would mean only half a game would separate the Mets and Phillies as they start their weekend series. The Red Sox end their series against Detroit, and they try to climb back and stay within striking distance of first place in the American League East. A victory would bring them to within a half game of the idle Tampa Bay Rays. Angels and Rangers are playing today. Cubs and Rockies are playing their minor leaguers today in Coors. Wood is pitching against Kelly as the Giants continue to play their series in Arizona, hoping to end this series with Arizona with a victory. The Phillies with Nola going up against Ross in Washington. Critical game for all those watching in New York. The Mariners, who took 2 out of 3 from the Rays, head up to Yankee Stadium. Nestor Cortez is going up against Anderson, an interesting matchup there. The Blue Jays continue to play well. The home cooking fits them. Stripling going up against McKenzie of Cleveland as the Indians have fallen to under 500. Twins and the Astros face off. Valdez against Jax. Dallas Keuchel's pitching for the White Sox against Lynch and the Royals. And LeBlanc of the Cardinals is going up against the Braves. Toussaint, as the Braves are hoping to creep back into it. So full day of baseball. You can follow us at the free and easy to use Odyssey app, or check us out on Twitter at LockedOnMLBPods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Figuring out a couple of the races and giving suggestions to the manager of the World Series champion. This has been Locked On MLB for the fifth day of August, 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast. Hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.